the most important concert promoter in jazz, is changing the way he listens to music. George Wein virtually invented the jazz festival back in 1954 when he brought a busload of artsy musicians to crisply nautical Newport, Rhode Island. The first Newport Jazz Festival was a success and spawned many more there and in New York City over the years. Mr. Wein eventually sold his production company, but when his successor canceled last year's JVC Jazz Festival, he decided to get back into the game. So 84-year-old George Wein set out to check out what was going on in the city's many jazz clubs, and what he heard led to this week's Care Fusion Jazz Festival and a new approach to presenting concerts. George Wein joins us from our studios in New York. Mr. Wein, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having us.
We'd like to begin by playing you some music, take you back a little bit, may we?
By all means.
So you recognize that piano technique?
I recognize it. I don't know where it was. That was Louis Braff on cornet, I think.
You know? Yes, exactly. I'm told it's a 1969 recording. Oh, Red Norvo on the vibes, too.
That was a good band, Bonnie Kessel on the guitar. Yeah, that was a privilege playing with those guys.
So how did you get from performing to promoting?
I never thought I was going to be a piano player. In fact, I don't consider myself a pianist. I play the piano. I have a lot of fun. I just never thought I'd be good enough, and I had a natural head for organizing, and the next thing I know, somebody said, open up your own club. I was playing in clubs in Boston. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, open up your own club. I leased a room from a hotel, and I've been in trouble ever since.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of promoters fail, don't they? I mean, there are a lot of clubs that open and are gone in just a few years.
I think people fail when they're looking for more than is there. I always knew that I could make a living in the music industry, and I just kept doing my thing. I never said I'm a failure because I didn't make any money, and for years I didn't make any money. And then I got lucky when sponsors came, and that established me a little bit financially, and then as the years went on, I did better. I'm doing okay. I'm 84 years old. I don't have to worry about the next few years, which as long as I have the next few years. Yeah. But promoters want to make money. Mm-hmm. I was in it because I really loved it. It was my life. I never went into it as, quote, a business. Sure, you had to make a living, but I mean, the music was in my head, in my heart, in my soul, and it still is.
So why did you sell your company, Festival Productions?
I had a huge overhead. And we had done a lot of business. We had been successful the past 8 or 10 years or so. And we lost a major client, and that would have meant I would have had a loss of $1 million that year. So I said it was time. What the heck? I was 81 years old. I said, it's time to get out. So I got out. Mm.
Was it hard to see the company go under after you left?
Not really. You know, No. There are a lot of problems. I had a lot of wonderful people, and most of them are still with me, by the way. They all came back. So I lost my wife, which hurt. That hurt very badly. Joyce died in 2005. But she wanted me to keep on living. I'm trying. It's not easy, but I'm doing my best.
Yeah. So tell us how you put this festival together.
Last year, when I went back to Newport, Care Fusion came to me out of the blue sky because I was prepared to lose money in Newport. I was going to give it 1 year shot just to see if I could get a sponsor and keep it alive. But they came out of the woodwork, I don't know where, and walked in and gave me enough money so I broke even last year. And so I said to them, look, if you're doing all these, they were doing several other cities besides Newport. I said, you've got to do New York. They want a festival in New York. And so they said, okay. So when they said to New York, I figured I had to do something different because it's the jazz capital, almost the music capital of the world. All over the city, you never know where you're going to run into a jazz group. And so I said, I have to do something that brings in the whole city. So I did a few concerts at Carnegie Hall last Thursday at Keith Jarrett. But in addition to that, I figured I had to do a lot more. So I took in places like the Jazz Gallery and the Jazz Standard and free concerts at Central Park. And then we went to Brooklyn, we went to Puppets Club, and we went to Zebulon, and we went to Bobby's, and we put in groups there to work during the festival. And working with these different promoters over the in the city was an education for me. We're doing something at the Louis Armstrong House in Queens to bring in all aspects of what is happening in this city. When Jazz at Lincoln Center came in to work with us, we're doing a blues show there, and we're introducing Darcy James Agui there Monday night at the Dizzy's Club.
Is that one of the differences that that you discovered going around to the clubs, and instead of trying to put the focus on certain kind of jazz and certainly one venue, to move it around the city as much as you do?
Well, that was part of it, but basically it's an awareness of what's happening in the music business in jazz as an art form. You see, there are so many young musicians coming. We're in a transition period. I remember when Herbie Hancock and Keith, they were the youngsters. They came along after Dizzy and after Miles and after Coltrane. They are now, Herbie celebrated his 70th birthday. There's a whole world of young musicians coming along, and every one of them is trying to establish an individual identity. All of them don't have great talent. But out of 1,000 kids, you might have a few that are really talented, and it's fascinating to hear them.
Doesn't sound like you spend a lot of time sitting at home watching reruns of Law & Order.
I do. I'm a real Law & Order freak. I mean, no, so I have to combine my work with watching Law & Order. I mean, I have to. I went back to the days of Michael Moriarty, you know, and that's how
you
fun.
Are a Law & Order fan. He was original prosecutor,
And Michael loved to play the piano. And we were at a dinner one night, and Michael wanted to play because he said, "I have to play for you. I want to play at Newport." And so he played, and I played after him, and he says, "I didn't know you could play." I said, "Yeah," but I said, "In reference to your playing," he said, "25 years to life." I
said. Boy, it takes that role a little seriously, doesn't it?
I have fun like that once in a while, you know.
Sounds like you're busier than ever.
In some respects, yes. We're finishing up New York. We go up to Newport. Newport is really a more in the traditional concept of presentation. It's all in at Fort Adams. But we have three stages. And then we have the Chick Corea's Freedom Band with Kenny Garrett and Jamie Cullum's and Ahmad Jamal and Maria Schneider's orchestra. So there's so much happening that it does keep you busy. Just keep going and hoping that you can tomorrow night I'll hear something that I love too.
Well, Mr. Ween, a real pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
George Ween, he's the producer of the Carafusion Jazz Festival, now underway in New York. For more coverage of that festival, including live concert recordings, you can come to our website, nprmusic.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.